Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Da 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 da. Hey, welcome to our show today. Today we're going to veer off on the comedy and get an awesome interview. Lisa L. Kirchner. She's written a book called Hello, American Lady Creature. What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. But she doesn't say it that way. Anyway, she's also an artist, a spoken word artist. She's been doing storytelling for a while. She's called The Moth, and toured the Yoga for Getting Over It workshop nationally. She's working on a story of what came on after this narrative, and she moved to India to study yoga and meditation. Very meditative on that aspect. I'm going to begin with a song, and then we're going to bring her on right now at Anami Buscalar.
N'était aucune issue, je n'aurais dit aucune parade, avalanche de querelles. Devine qui détraque nos mines imprévues, nos peurs à corps d'étale, rampant des ondes lunaires,
me on.
There you are. You're on.
Hi, Nancy. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. No problem. Very interesting book. Very interesting. Boy, you've packed a lot of living in your life.
I have. And how interesting
done.
Cutter has managed to get all over the news.
I know. And I pronounced it wrong. I went, Qatar. But you pronounce
well,
it Qatar.
Well, it's funny because pretty much everybody does. And you can't even say it properly in English anyway because it's that, you know, that guttural sound like
yeah,
you're about to hawk.
In Wikipedia, it is Qatar. But, you know, we're American. We're reading it like American. So, interesting. So you've written this great book, Hello, American Lady Creature, which I said with an accent because I couldn't help. What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. And you are so in the news now with all of this. And we'll go back and forth with this. But first, let's give the listeners just a taste as to how all this began. I know in your early years, you did a little Peace Corps for about 3 months.
Yes, exactly
okay.
Right.
So let's,
until
let's
they kick
start
me out.
With your Peace Corps and the journey that you took to Qatar. So we'll start with the Peace Corps.
I went to the Peace Corps kind of, you know, with a nursing a broken heart there. An interesting start. My boyfriend had died. He drowned in his mom's swimming pool, and I just really was grasping at straws to figure out how to move on with my life. And I'd always been interested in the Peace Corps, but it wasn't the right thing at the right time. I was basically on a shame spiral of alcoholism, as I like to say, and they do not look kindly on that in the Muslim world. For a young lady of childbearing years, they don't like to see that. So they kicked me right out.
Oh, all right. So that was a short trip. Which country were you in at the Peace Corps at the time?
Tunisia.
Tunisia, okay. There's a jazz song written about that. Okay,
Tunisia.
So you were there, and so then you came back.
Yes, which had nothing to do with the Qatar trip, because by the time I went to Qatar, I turned my life around. I had gone and had been running my own marketing and communications consulting business. I was married, and it seemed like a great opportunity actually for my husband because he was a journalist, and we thought, oh, you know, let's put ourselves at the center of world news, and he'll become a freelance foreign correspondent. That is not how things worked out.
All right. So you're married. Okay, we're jumping ahead. But you do have a background. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit because you do have a background in writing as well.
Oh, yeah, my degree is actually
in journalism.
Yeah,
that's what I want the people to know, that you didn't just jump into it and say, hey, I'm going to Qatar and I'm going to write a book. You do have a background in it. And your writing's been in the Washington Post, Budget Travel, Salon.com, and a lot of others. Okay.
Yeah,
now,
well,
go ahead.
That, you know, I never meant to write a memoir at all. I was a journalist and, you know, sort of allergic to the pronoun I, and that's actually how I got into storytelling. All of that happened after being in Qatar. I always planned to write about what a weird place it was. You know, you'd be in the mall and you'd see these women wrapped head to toe in black, and they would sort of appear to be floating along the aisles past Victoria's Secret ads. Really strange, right?
Yeah, a juxtaposition of cultures.
Yeah, and well, especially since, you know, if you looked in the magazines, they would it was someone's job to black magic marker over exposed shoulders and low necklines and high hemlines. So it's all very strange. A lot of
the airport search must be very interesting. What are you doing? Put your shoes back on. I can't see your ankles. Crazy woman.
Right.
But it's interesting. So, yeah, so you went over with your husband. Okay, so we're jumping ahead. So you've also been – you were a storyteller before you wrote the book. So you were doing like
no,
law.
Not at
no,
all.
You were?
I
no.
started
oh,
telling stories.
After?
I got on stage because I had this book, and I started writing it actually when I was living in India, and it was the first time, you know, I had written sort of long form anything with me in the story. And I started telling stories so that I could figure out what – because I had hundreds and hundreds of pages that I knew needed to be cut, and I just needed to really get in front of people and see what parts of the story were working and what
wasn't.
Ah,
okay. So before, so you started doing the storytelling before then. You've completed the book. You were doing
Moth
before, so that was way before. Okay. So,
well, not
all right.
way before. I came back in 2007 from Qatar, and that's when I started going to the Moth.
Okay. All right. So, so you were there before everything that is happening now with Fila and everything, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, I meant,
2004.
So I'm just backing up. I'm giving them a little taste here. You were there. What was it like?
Well,
so this would be
it
about
was
7 years ago, okay.
Well, and then I went back to help set up the Tribeca Film Festival in Qatar. And when I lived there, you know, they're a very wealthy country. It was nothing like Tunisia. Tunisia, very poor, obviously. They had Peace Corps. There's no Peace Corps in Qatar. And
it's one of the richest little countries, isn't it? It's
indeed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 25% of the oil comes from there? Or
No, actually, their wealth comes from natural gas. They're sitting on top of one of the world's largest reserves of natural gas, if not the largest, because they sort of discovered more since I left. So it sort of vies between first, second, and third. Anyway, they brought in an undergraduate university, not just one, not just Carnegie Mellon. They also have Weill Cornell and Northwestern and Georgetown and Texas A&M and Virginia Commonwealth. I mean, they...
Now, let me ask you this. I don't want to appear to be ignorant on this subject, but, you know, given all their limitations with the women, do the women attend the colleges?
Oh, my gosh, yes, and they're much stronger students than the men, generally speaking. Think about it. You spend your life in a segregated house, and you can either hang... On Friday nights, the young women's options are to... you know, hang out with their female relatives or study. The men can go out, or the boys, they can go out and, you know, hang out on the town.
Wow.
So women are much better
students. What was it like for you there? Because you're pretty flesh tone, so.
Right. Yeah, I did not blend in. Nobody was thinking that I was a Qatari. And there, I actually did have colleagues who would put on that black robe and the headscarf because it was just you could go out and not be bothered. And I think the more Arabic you look, actually the more trouble you got into. I mean, the title of the book comes from the fact that I felt like I was an alien. If people looked at me, I felt like they were looking at me like, you don't compute in my worldview, which is not to say that they are ignorant in any way. I mean, they're wealthy people and well-traveled and learned. And, you know, I have to give credit to the ruling family for bringing in things like universities and film festivals. And they built, you know, a huge museum designed by I.M. Pei, which is absolutely gorgeous,
oh, yeah.
as opposed to, oh, let's be famous for having an indoor ski slope. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they're
really being smart about how they're spending their money.
And right now, what do you think of everything that's in the news about the protest about the Olympics?
The FIFA World Cup. Well, I say hallelujah. Yeah. I'm so happy. You know, years of earnest blogging about human rights violations has done nothing for the human rights violations. But outraged sports fans, that might actually do it. So I'm excited.
There you go. So tell us a little bit more about the book now. Hello? American Lady Creature, What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because the typical lady memoir starts with you're miserable because of your life and that sets you off on a journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I was in a good, you know, I thought I was very excited to be moving to Qatar with the man of my dreams. And I ended up having a hard time figuring out how can I tell this story because, you know, the inciting incident of the story is when my husband ends our marriage over the phone from another country, right? However, that's, you know, halfway into my journey in Qatar. And there's so much of what I find fascinating about that part of the world. And I think explaining how it is that I came around to really see how my own belief and my own feminism was hypocritical came through what I experienced there. So a quick example is when I first got to Cutter, a colleague and I were watching this movie, and she was a woman who'd spent a lot of time in the States. And, you know, the guy goes, Talak, and the camera pans in on this woman, and she's sort of looking really distressed, and then he says, Talak again. And then she's, like, pulling her hair out. And I said, what is the deal? And she tells me, oh, talak means I divorce you, say it three times, and that's it.
Oh.
Marriage is over. And I was like, that is so backward. That would never happen in my country. Well, guess what? That's exactly what happened. Only my husband didn't have to say it three times. He said it once, and that was it. Marriage finished. So, you know, what I believe is that if we think that we have all that sorted, we're all done with advancing the cause of women, so let's move on to something else, then we're not seeing these other things that are happening, that the way that we behave based on our beliefs that we don't acknowledge. So that's why I really wanted to tell this story. But it's not a didactic tome.
Yeah.
It's a funny
No, not
it's
at
like
all.
Good
read. It's a very good read. And
oh, thanks.
The interesting thing about it, I mean, you do have a nice flair for easy reading. It's not a complicated, oh, this is going to be about another country, I can't read this. But it's very easy read, and it's very interesting. Now, the thing, too, I just want to ask you as a woman with the experience of being in Qatar and that part of the world, how long were you there?
I was there for 3 years.
3 years, okay. So 3 years. As I personally watch the news, more and more, as you say, as all these laws being imposed, they're mostly being imposed by men. And I sometimes, I don't know about you, get a feeling it's not so much a war going around the world, but a war against women. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I went to India to study yoga and meditation, because, you know, you've met people who they start half their sentences with, like, men, you know, this sort of bitter thing.
And
it's like, that's half the planet.
Like,
and I don't want
to
have a war on men or women.
No, I just meant with that, the things, the young girls kidnapped, it just seems like the worst way you can hurt your enemy is to do something to a woman or to hurt their women, the control thing. I just feel there's a certain
Helen of Troy, it's not new and it's not unique to that part of the world either.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, I saw women be very powerful and strong in that part of the world, and I am completely appalled by what's happening in Iraq, for instance, right now, where they're forcing women to stay indoors, essentially. No alcohol, no tobacco, and women stay inside. You know, that is not what Qatar is trying to do. They don't have stonings, you know, that said, you know, they do really frown on public drunkenness, you know, it's a very strange
do the women
thing,
date?
But you can't
do they date?
Classify Qatar alongside Iraq or what's happening with Boko Haram, either. They're different, completely different places. I mean, Tunisia and Qatar could not have been more different, even though if you read the description, you'd think, oh, they're so similar. They're progressive countries. They're this, they're that. Not at all. I actually felt that women in Tunisia, but again, this was in the 90s, you know, so this is a long time ago, were much more second-class citizens than in Qatar.
Yes, it is. It is amazing. Just that you just if you read about what these women do to learn, what these women will go through or suffer or sacrifice for their children, their daughters, and to learn, which is very interesting. And the fact, do you have friends there? Are you in touch with anyone? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women?
Qatari men?
No men, right?
No. I'm asking you, do you mean Qatari men or men? Yes, men and women. Qataris, not so much.
Okay. All right. Men. Okay. It's interesting. It's just interesting. So do you happen to have your book with you right there?
I do.
Can you pick out a passage that would show them the flavor that I'm trying to express?
Well,
just
given
any
the...
Any one of your favorites. Any one of your favorites or a little passage.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because I did experience harassment while I was there. That's what this is about. So, on the short flight between Qatar and Oman, I was delighted when Joe – so this was – we did these recruitment fairs where we went around trying to promote the universities at Education City.
Okay.
On a short flight between Qatar and Oman, I was delighted when Joe, the head of admissions for Texas A&M, changed seats to sit beside me. He was a superb traveling companion, perpetually clad in a well-cut suit. He'd been everywhere and always had a tip. Alice and I stayed at the Chetty the last time we were in Muscat, he said, throwing back his tie before digging into his freshly prepared eggs. Oh, how I miss the flying living room that was Qatar Airways. When the place first opened, did you know the locals thought it wasn't finished? That's how clean and modern the lines are, just spectacular. He told me that he and his wife had visited the Wadis, Oman's river valleys. They're dry now, he said, which means the visibility is perfect for scuba diving. Alice is coming on Thursday, and we're going diving. Wait a minute. Jeff had just gotten Patty certified. What if we join you and make it a foursome, I asked. It's Jeff's birthday in a couple of weeks. And so it was decided. And then I go on and I describe how I ended up not having a reservation, and there was no reservation for me. And the concierge is looking at me in horror because he's suggesting that I stay across town, which won't do. It's too far from the work event. Didn't I see another hotel across the parking lot, I asked. From the look of horror on the man's face, it was clear the place was not up to the standard of the Grand Hyatt, but anything seemed better than being trapped across town. I was in the Peace Corps, buddy, I thought. I can handle a cheap hotel for a couple of nights. Really, it's fine. I said, please just book me there. He did as I asked, then arranged a car to whisk me across the parking lot. This seemed excessive, but he was trying to be helpful, and I wanted to let him. Plus, I didn't want to sweat in my suit. As I entered the Coral Boutique, just a parking lot away, it dawned on me how long it had been since my days of low-rent accommodation. The lobby featured wood and brass accents, all right, only here they were shaped into a registration desk that looked like a sailing ship. There was no massive chandelier. A giant spiral staircase took up most of the lobby. To the left was a grimy-looking restaurant that emitted no smell, never a good sign, and the elevator was not working, possibly a worse sign. So then I go upstairs. I just, you know, the AC emits a stink of smoke and rotten eggs, and the television set is playing all Arabic all the time, and it has knobs. So I decide I'm going to go over to the Hyatt, maybe get a massage, but they're all booked, so I called Joe. Guess where I am, I said, kind of hoping he'd offer to switch rooms when I relayed my plight. I was happy enough to take him up on his offer to come over and enjoy his room's amenities, though. Come watch a movie, he said. I have room service. He had me at movie, though I was never opposed to a snack. I crossed the lot on my own this time, which took less time than traversing the Hyatt's enormous interior. The hallways stretched on forever before I found his room. This, too, was huge, complete with a living area, settee, and dressing room. The giant TV, however, faced the bed. Only one place to watch. I hesitated a moment, but this was Joe. Everybody loved Joe. I hopped in. That's when Joe decided he wanted to take a nap. Wasn't this at odds with my movie watching? Go ahead, watch TV, he said. I can sleep through anything. All righty, then. I started surfing through his gazillion channels, the wonder of a simple remote control. But Joe was struggling under the sheets. He asked me to get under the covers so he could be more comfortable. That seemed a bit much, but I wasn't about to head back to my room. There were hours to go before the group met up for dinner. I thought about stealing a pillow. Duly settled, I went back to channel surfing. Then Joe yawned, stretched, and rolled over and reached out. Suddenly, his left arm was draped across my lap. What the hell? Was it an eternity or 5 seconds later that he shifted and the hand was gone? But wait, that move was so high school, I couldn't be sure it was a move. Was that a move? I froze in my seat, wondering what to make of it. Maybe it was best not to make anything of it. Why isn't there anything on the TV? I looked down at the side table to my right, reading Lolita and the Tehran. My wife says that's good, Joe said, getting out of bed and going into the bathroom. So now he's awake and invoking the wife. Of course that wasn't a move. How could I be so juvenile? I turned off the TV and started to read, scooting down a bit, turning on my side. I was barely onto the second page and the hand was back, only this time he took the side of my ass and gave it a squeeze like it was a roll of Charmin's toilet paper. I practically fell out of bed. I have to go, I muttered, up and at the door in seconds, grabbing my shoes from I don't know where, but they're in my hand. Joe was right behind me, but I didn't turn, didn't look. I just kept walking, marching down those infinite corridors, my anger at Joe fleeting as I turned that anger onto myself. How could I have gotten into such a stupid situation? What was I thinking? I felt dirty and disgusting and slutty. I wanted to go right home.
Whoa.
And then a short while later, right, he kept calling me. He was calling and calling and calling. And then finally I got a call from a colleague, and it was almost time for our thing to start, so I thought she wanted to make some arrangements. But no, it was Joe. Things got pretty intense there. Did that mean he thought I liked that, that I was complicit? And what had he said to borrow this phone? Is what I said. He asked if I'd meet him for coffee. Absolutely, I said. 15 minutes from now, your lobby bar. 20 minutes later, I sent him a text. I am a happily married woman. If you want to stay a happily married man, you will stay away from me. I never heard back from Joe.
Wow. That is like a movie. It's like
from
a
your
scene
lips
from
to
a
God's
movie.
Ears.
Wow, this is so interesting. Can you believe how fast the time has flown? I cannot believe this. Listen, for more information, go to www.lisakirchner.com. Where else can they get the book?
On Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you're in New York City, McNally Jackson has copies. And if you're in Chicago, it's at Powell's. So I'm working my way across the country doing readings.
Where will you be next?
For this
Where's
tour.
Your next book signing?
Well, my next book signing is actually at a yoga workshop that I'm doing in Pittsburgh this weekend, the yoga
All
for
right.
getting over it. Because I started doing yoga when I lived in Qatar, which is weird. And another story.
And another on another day. And it's incredible. We're down to the last 3 minutes of the show. I want to thank you. Get Lisa's book, Lisa L. Kirchner. Hello, American Lady Creature, What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. Very good. I want to thank our chat room. I don't know if you know this. We have a chat room as well. Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters, who's been listening every Tuesday at 4 p.m. It's Movie Attic Headquarters with Betty Jo Tucker, Chuck Skull. You've got a couple of radio shows listening to you. Chuck Skull Radio. Go on Facebook and Facebook Chuck Skull Fridays and Saturdays at 8, and I think Sundays at 11. Klopsy's in the house. The Wacko Network. Thank you for listening, Wacko Network. That's Tuesdays through Fridays at 9 a.m. Wacko Bob, thank you guys for listening. Also, you've got a man in Amsterdam listening, Cyanide77. His real name's Marco, and he's just outside of Amsterdam, and these are the people in the chat room. So you had five other radio shows listening. So that's good. Anyway, it's all good. Check her out, Lisa L. Kirchner. They can Facebook friend you too, right? You have a page
Absolutely.
For your book? Hello,
Pardon
American
me?
Lady Creature. Hello, American Lady Creature, What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. www.lisakirchner.com. Go check her out. Very interesting. That I'm still, like, reeling from the story. I'm, like, I'm creep, as we say in Italian. Yeah. Che schifo. You know, a little skeeved out about that.
I don't even speak Italian, but I get that. Thank you.
Yeah, very skeevy. If you've heard the word skeevy, that's what it means.
I didn't know that's where the word came from.
Schivo, ooh, ooh, yeah, schivo, get schivo. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was that guy, as we would say. But that's a scary, scary story, especially when you're not anywhere where you need to be with friends. But
well, not only not with friends, but not exactly a supportive environment for pressing any kind of harassment. You know what I mean? There's
no
support.
That.
I'm
no,
a woman in his room. I'm the one who's about to get in trouble.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, you're the one who's vulnerable. It's very, it's that help when you suddenly realize you're not protected is a very, very scary feeling. Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Oh, I was just going to say about the funny sort of bell hooks line, you can give out a phone number and there's an anonymous female activist who is sending out quotes from the feminist bell hooks in retort to unwanted male phone calls.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I haven't, but I'll check that out. Thank you so much, Lisa Kirchner, for
Thank
being
you.
On
the
show
today.
Thank
you. Had so much fun, Nancy.
Terrific. We'll go out on the little Sochi floats. And thank you. This is Nancy Lombardo, your host of Blog Talk Radio, Comedy Concepts. Great story today. Thank you, Lisa, for being on our show. Bye.
finance.
What a great guest. What a terrific guest. That's so interesting. It's always good. I love doing interviews where you learn something about the world and what's going on around it. And that's why you do these kind of interviews, to learn what's going on. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Lisa, if you were listening. I just pressed the button when I heard bye, and you were gone. So, Lisa L. Kirshner, check out her book, Hello, American Lady Creature, What I Learned as a Woman in Qatar. And now I know how to pronounce it. Thank you, Cyanide. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters.